back on Downtown 17 before 5 o'clock. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We welcome in our friend Eric Meehan. Hello there, Eric.
Well, hello, and thank God it's Rich Kimball.
I've waited so long for someone to say that.
I'm still waiting for the Eric Meehan version of it, but that's okay. I'm glad I gave you the gift that you needed this Christmas.
Much appreciated. And by the way, congratulations. I'm sorry I didn't get to see it, but I heard you were part of a wonderful performance over the weekend.
Well, that is, thank you. I was part of a wonderful performance, and as it happens, you can still catch it. If you're willing to cough up a 10 spot, the Bangor Symphony Orchestra has offered this was the Winter Pops, which I'll talk about in a second, but if you go to the Bangor Symphony webpage, you can purchase the viewing rights for a mere $10, and I mean this, not just because I was in it, it was really good. And who doesn't need a little help getting into the holiday spirit this holiday season? If you need a little holiday spirit, something to throw on for the kids, do it. Buy it and show, put it on your TV and snuggle up with the family. It's an hour and 10 minutes-ish. But what it was is Maestro Richman was at the Knoxville Symphony for years, and then later the Pittsburgh Symphony, and was friendly with a baritone named Chris Sanders, but basically conceived of this this holiday pops idea, which I'm not, holiday pops concert with an orchestra is nothing groundbreaking, of course, but it happened that when he got to Bangor, because of the symphony's longstanding relationship with the Robinson Ballet and doing Nutcracker as their sort of a holiday thing, he sort of had to table this idea that he had been doing for years of doing a holiday pops concert. And so this year, because of, unfortunate restrictions, etc., Robinson decided not to do the full-out thing, so in popped this pops concert, as it were. And what's funnier still is that for years I was on the symphony board and advocated, like, we should do a holiday pops concert, it's fun, like, people enjoy that sort of pomp and circumstance, and Lucas himself joked that it took me leaving the board to get it to happen. I sang the part of Santa, and we had Lucas's niece, who is herself a professional singer out in L.A., sing. We had Don Corrigan of television fame do a really splendid reading of The Night Before Christmas. We had Stevie Dunham of Robinson do a nice dance. And of course, the band was just spectacular. A lot of cool stuff. A really nice Hanukkah medley that Lucas arranged as well. Stuff that you don't normally hear, as well as stuff you do normally hear, but done very well. And my children and their friends as elves, who are super cute to boot. So $10. It supports the orchestra, and it's a good show. Like, I'm telling you, it was a good show, and I reserve my hearty recommendation, as one has to do, but it went great, so check it out, please. This is our last show, this is our last appearance, my last appearance on Downtown for the year, of course I've enjoyed it, so as it's pre-Christmas, all-encompassing holidays, I like to sort of do my Holy Land edition of wine, because it's important to remind people that that part of the world is extraordinarily good for wine, as well as a lot of other agriculture. It just happens that it's been, the center of unbelievable strife for, oh, you know, centuries. And it's no joke. I mean, you know, up until present day, it's dodgy, but people make unbelievably good wine in that region. I like to say, I quote Jancis Robinson, who's a very wonderful wine writer as well as a master of wine. There may be dispute about where wine was originally made, but no doubt that the Middle East is the birthplace of the culture of drinking wine. And of course, you know, we have biblical times in the book of John, which is that's the story where Jesus made wine out of water. And so I like to sort of talk about what he might have, quote, made. I'm not here to start a holy war about whether it actually happened, but it's interesting to note what they were drinking at the time, because it's very possible that there was some plausibility for not perhaps water, but grapes, and or water mixed with fresh grapes. There was a form of wine, very similar, you might want to sort of call it the Beaujolais Nouveau of the time, but it was made from fresh juice and the must, which is the juice from the crushed grapes, and it's got a high sugar content, and in a warmer climate, it will start to ferment faster than in a cooler environment, which is why we have cellars and, you know, things to prevent re-fermentation, etc. So it might just be that it was grape juice and or grape juice watered down with water, but it had started to ferment and made a lightly alcoholic beverage. So it's just interesting. You know, I'm one of these people who... I'm also really fascinated with the fact that there was indeed a huge climatological event, flooding, etc., around the time that the biblical flood and several other floods in other cultures happened. You know, there are things that suggest that it might be, you know, plausible. So just interesting to think about that. The other wines and beverages that were available around the time, there was Chemerim. That was the dregs. That was the oldest wine that were kind of around, where they sort of added that to other, like, new fresh wines to give them flavor. You know, that was kind of it. There's no mention of beer in the Bible, though there's very likely beer and, you know, early beer-like things happening in the Middle East. Of course, in Turkey and then also parts of Iraq and Iran, they've found evidence of, you know, basically early plantings of wheat and other things. And as we know, any frequent listeners to this segment knows that it's not a coincidence that where people popped up, things that can not only sustain them by making bread, but also can make booze also crop up. So there's a lot of evidence that there was probably beer and beer-like things as well as wine-like things. The main regions in the viticultural scene in that area, obviously Israel and Lebanon, are tremendously good makers of wine, although Israel's been not as good at exporting the good stuff recently. But Lebanon, on the other hand, is really coming on strong. Of course, Chateau Moussa are famous for years, but there are a lot of other wineries, especially that are financed by really good wine families in the European sector, people with some serious cash and serious know-how. So do look for wines from Lebanon. They are available even here in Maine and are tremendously good. The only other one that's of note is Cyprus, which doesn't do a lot now, but is the home of Kamandaria, which is probably the earliest evidence of wine production and the first acknowledged famous sweet wine in the world. So that's kind of cool. Rich, how much time do I have left?
We've got about 2.5 minutes.
All right, cool. So I'll then let me talk a little bit more about Commanderia, and then I'll get into finishing up. But Commanderia is kind of cool because it was apparently served at the marriage of Richard the Lionheart, and at that King Richard pronounced it the Wine of Kings and the King of Wines. It was it's again from Cyprus, which has never been invaded by phylloxera, still to this day, and they do make this this Commanderia, and it's made of the Mavro, which is Greek for dark, and Sinesteri, which is a native varietal, and again, they're both very, very dark-toned and rich, and then they're raisined, like so many sweet wines, so that's how they make that. Anyway, to sum up, it's been a beautiful year, despite everything, and I thank you all for listening to my humble segment and frequenting my shop. I'll remind everyone, we are masking up in the shop for obvious reasons these days. But we do look forward to seeing you here. We will be open until 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and then we're going to take a couple days off. So everybody be well, and we'll talk to you in the new year, I suppose.
Yeah, I was in the other day. Got Morgan helped me find some wonderful Prosecco for the holidays and some other goodies, and we missed you, but we hope it all goes well. Hope you and the family, including the Bangor Wine and Cheese family, have a wonderful holiday.
We plan on it, sir. You and your family do the same, and all of you out there in Radio Land, please stay healthy and stay happy.
We'll catch you in 2022. Yeah. Thanks, Eric.
Excellent. Cheers.
That is Eric Mann of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown.